As we are currently in unprecedented times already, can I ask for everyone's full cooperation and to adhere to the new guidelines with regards to the conduct of the meeting? Everyone should ensure their mobile phones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Council's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt items. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure, if you wish to speak on an item, use the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. I would remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question, type P if you wish to propose, and type S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. In the event that two councillors propose at the same time, the person who proposed first will be taken as the proposer, and the person who proposed second will be recorded as the seconder. Okay, as I said, everybody's very welcome today. We have, in addition, or in, from the Northern Ireland Audit Office, we have Patrick Barr, I believe. Patrick Barr was to join us, and Brian O'Neill. You're welcome from the Northern Ireland Audit Office.
And Thank you, Chair.
Gavin Ringland will be joining us from IT as well for later on for presentation. We do have a substantial agenda today due to being unable to have our April meeting. And please bear with me, as this is my first time chairing a virtual meeting. I have attended, but this is my first time chairing, so bear with me. So one change to the agenda, if I may, if members are happy. I would like to move item 8 and 9, which is the reports I've done in relation to the Audit Committee as Chair. The first one is the Audit Committee self-assessment, and the second one is the annual report for myself as the Chair. And the reason I'd like to move these to the end of the meeting is because they reflect some of the business that we'll be doing today during the meeting, and therefore be more accurate and realistic at the end. We would have done them at the April meeting, but as we said, we couldn't have that meeting. So if members would bear with me, I would appreciate that. So could we ask for any apologies?
Councillor Owens, an apology.
Thank you. Okay, thanks, Sarah. Okay, declarations of interest. Members, any declarations of interest?
Just an 8 of 10, Chair, myself, Councillor Byrne.
Yes, I would add my declaration of interest in that one as Chair as well. Thank you. Anybody else? No. Okay, thank you. Item 3, the action sheet. The action sheet, if we could go through page by page, get a proposer, a seconder for accuracy. Page 1. I think I need a member to propose, if we could have a P and an S.
If we would, sorry, Chair, if we just maybe run through 1 to 7 and then we'll take a proposer and seconder at the end for all.
That's perfect, Rina, thank you. Okay, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7. Any questions? Gareth, you're second. So I have a proposer from Catherine, Councillor Owen, and a seconder from Councillor Sharvin. Okay, thank you for that. Item number four, the implications of COVID on Audit Committee. If I could ask Duina to take that report, please.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Councillors, you'll be aware that obviously there's been lots of implications of COVID-19 on the organisation. A detailed report went to the FCNR committee regarding the financial impacts of that, and I know a number of you sit on that committee. What we've done today is putting together for you the implications that concerns you as an audit committee member, and they're more around the risk and the governance implications of COVID-19 on the audit committee. So I suppose just it's to summarise things for you in terms of the internal audit position. Unfortunately, when we went into lockdown, ASM still had a little bit of work to do to finalise their year. You will see that we worked closely with ASM and to just work as best we could in the circumstances we found ourselves in. The fortunate thing from the Audit Committee's perspective then is that ASM were able to have enough work completed to enable them to give us a full year audit opinion, which has made its way into the governance statement. So we did have to make some changes because really of access requirements to our sites, and I suppose I'd like to thank ASM for working with us on that. In terms of external audits then, the department have actually changed the legislation now because of COVID, recognising the impact on council's finance departments and the work of the Northern Ireland Audit Office in trying to audit all of the government departments who have all been affected. So the timetable has now changed. Typically we would have been preparing accounts to the 30th of June for audit by the 30th of September. That timetable has been pushed back to 31 August for preparation of the accounts and 31 December for audit and certification by the local government auditor. Now, what members, I suppose, just to bring to your attention, that gives us an audit type period, if you like, of between August and December, which does give us some difficulties as a finance department in-house, because typically we're very focused on our rates at that time of the year. We think we'll have a huge piece of work to do around the rates process this year. So we have been corresponding with the Audit Office, and both ourselves and the Audit Office are going to try and work as best we can, both parties impacted, to try and get most of the audit completed by the 30th of September, and we hope that when we meet you again as an audit committee, we'll have a substantially complete audit at that stage for them and for yourselves. Certification will be later on in December, and we'll come on to that in terms of the timetable. But again, we've been working with the Audit Office closely on that. We hope to get a draft set of accounts over to them before we break for the July fortnight, and hopefully most of the audit work will still be at the same time of the year. In terms of risk management then, we have gone through our risk register a number of times now. We liaise with our internal auditors how best to look at this, and we have actually gone through, as a senior management team, our corporate risk register, looked at every risk that the organisation was facing pre-COVID, and very much focused on how has COVID impacted on all of those risks. And you will see that throughout the risk register we've updated it. We have then introduced two new COVID-specific risks into that, and that will feature, I'll talk you through that later on in the agenda as well. In terms of performance improvement then, again, the whole performance improvement timetable, it's recognised that that's been impacted quite significantly, and council's abilities to achieve the objectives that they've set themselves. We are, both ourselves and the audit office, are still awaiting guidance from the Department for Communities as to exactly what impact that will have. We do know that we'll not be required now to publish the 2021 improvement plan by the 30th of June, which was the initial timetable, but we're still waiting for further guidance on that, and we'll bring that to your attention once we're in receipt of that. We have appended for you today the National Audit Office, the GB based Northern Office have issued guidance for audit committees in this area. And I suppose from our perspective, it's very useful guidance. It has more of a longer term impact, I suppose, for this committee. We've timetabled it for you today, for you to get familiar with it. We will table it again for you at the September Audit Committee when you will be considering the annual report and accounts in some detail. And I think it's one that it's useful for you to familiarise yourself with. And as we go through this next year post-COVID as an Audit Committee, there's some very useful questions and considerations for the Audit Committee on that. So that is attached to your pack. And then importantly, I suppose there is that impact on Council's finances and importantly ongoing concern, which is our ability to exist, to continue in operational existence for at least 12 months. The financial position has been discussed in great detail at FPNR. We have revisited our budgets, we've gone through them line by line, and we'll continue to do that at various stages throughout the year. In terms of our ability to continue as a going concern, we quite quickly into the process did a very, very detailed cash flow position and discussed that with Marie as Chief Executive. And again, it's something that will need to be kept updated as we go out, as we go through this year. We were able to give Marie some assurances, and I suppose I'm trying to give you some assurances that we do believe that we can continue as a going concern for the next 12 months. That will be, however, impacted by external borrowings to enable us to do that. We will have to revisit that continually as services open up, as more pressure comes onto our finances in terms of the easing of the lockdown restrictions. We will also be updating that for any of the support packages that we will receive from central government. So again, the detail of that will be looked at by the audit office when they come to do their year-end audit, and you'll get that, I suppose, hopefully external assurance in that regard at your September meeting and prior to signing off the accounts in December. So I suppose that's just a high level run through the things that the audit committee should be thinking about in terms of the COVID workings. Happy to take any comments or questions.
Councillor Byrne, would you like to come in?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, thanks, Tarina, for that overview. I suppose when we're looking at the implications of COVID, we can all see, obviously, there's clear implications on dates, and you talk about the financial accounts and the timetable for submission. That's clear that that's been sort of extended, although we're working to the original dates anyhow, and obviously with ASM's work, I think it was on the fuel and that, that would all be extended. But what I don't want to see going through this year is an over-focus on COVID. And I'm saying that in terms of the risk register. It is very, very easy for us to say that, you know, all the high level of these risks is due to COVID. And if we can spend the next 6 to 8 months saying, well, that's scores are so high or at that level due to COVID. And I think there'll be an over-reliance on that as well. I think we should be focusing on how we can, I suppose, COVID masking some of the actions that we can look outside COVID and see if we can take some of those scores down. And that's certainly the way I'll be focusing going forward. So, it's not me coming in on a criticism on the risk register. I agree with the two new risks added. I agree that we can have a separate register on COVID risks, that it's built into most of them because it has an impact on most of them. But I think we should focus on actions outside that and not have an over-reliance on blaming COVID going forward, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Thank you, Councillor Barandarina. Do you want to come back on that?
Yeah, no, I can't disagree with that at all. And it's certainly, you know, when we the work that myself and Jared do when we're going through the risk registers, there's suites of underlying risk registers that sit beneath the corporate risk register at directorate level, at departmental level, and certainly, you know, we're given similar points that whilst COVID has been very challenging, whilst it's right that we do look at the impact of COVID, we can't, I suppose, COVID can't be an excuse for not doing everything that we need to do, and we are in that recovery phase now. It has been a very fast pace, and I agree with the point. So we are challenging people on that as well, Councillor, that COVID has impacted, absolutely, but we still have our normal operational risks, if you like, as well, and we have the pre-existing risks that still need to be addressed going forward.
Thanks.
Thank you, Doreen, for that. I would just like to say thank the officers for the very informative report, as it touches on the key areas that need to be considered at this juncture, particularly that of risk management as well as the going concern elements, and no doubt we'll be getting further reports on that at future audit committees. So, members, this item is for noting. There are no further questions coming through, so if we can accept that as noted, we'll move on to item number 5. Thank you, members. Item number 5 is in relation to the dates of future meetings and the time that we start those meetings. And we have in front of us some scheduled ones that are already in the diary, and we have a further one potentially around the 7th of December that I know there's been communication about. If anybody wants to confirm that, maybe Louise or Sarah want to confirm if that's been agreed. And it leaves us then to agree a 2 p.m. start. So, members, if I could ask for any questions.
Sorry, Chair, if I could just come in. We're proposing this December meeting will be, I suppose, an extra meeting of the Audit Committee. I think Louise was circulating the dates of the 7th of December, which is the same day as our council meeting will be held. We're proposing a one agenda item meeting to sign the accounts. And if it doesn't happen on that date, it'll be later on in December. Will be impacted by the work of the audit office. So we want to make sure that they'll definitely be in a position to sign. But it'll be a one item agenda, and then all our normal business will continue to go to that January meeting. So a short one off meeting is what's envisaged in December.
Okay, Edwina, thank you for that. Councillor Garvin is typing a message. A proposal. Thank you, Councillor Garvin.
I was going to ask a question, but Doreena answered it. It's okay, so I'm happy. Proposal.
Okay, could I have a seconder then? Thank you, Councillor Garvin. And we have a seconder from Councillor Devlin. Thank you very much. Item number 6 is in relation to the Audit Committee Terms of Reference, and I'm going to hand over to Jared to talk about this report.
Thank you, Chair. So the terms of reference on the decision time are those which were agreed last year. They were then approved by Council on the 4th of March 2019. However, it's best practice to review the terms of reference of Audit Committee on an annual basis, so I've reviewed these against HM Treasury's Audit and Risk Assurance Handbook. So the terms of reference conform with best practice and I believe are an accurate reflection of the work the committee currently undertake. So I would not propose any changes to the terms of reference.
Thank you, Jared. No questions coming through. So if I could have a proposer and a seconder for the terms of reference for the Audit Committee. We have a proposer from Councillor Byrne and a seconder from Councillor Owen. Thank you very much. Next item on the agenda is item number 7, is the Audit Committee timetable. Basically, this is the work programme that the Audit Committee will be going through on an annual basis. It's laid out with the standard reports that come to the Audit Committee at every meeting, and then the particular bespoke reports that come to the various meetings throughout the year. and the different pre-meetings that we have with internal audit and external audit, and it clearly lays out when they will happen, and it's very much in line with best practice. So members, unless there are any questions, that item is for noting. Okay, thank you. Item 8 and 9, is, as I said, with members' indulgence, we'll take at the end of the meeting. So that takes us to item number 10, and I'll pass up to Dorina, the annual review.
Thank you, Chair. Members, you'll be aware that, again, in line with best practice, we assess the chairperson's performance on an annual basis. Councillor Byrne kindly agreed to take part in that assessment, and with the Chief Executive, Marie. Obviously, the key role of the Audit Committee is to provide Council and the Chief Executive with an assurance around the governance of the organisation. So Councillor Byrne is representing Council at that assessment. I facilitate the assessment, don't take part in it in any way. And actually, we have used what the National Audit Office Best Practice Guide to do that. When I say I facilitate it, I provide any evidence to support the questions that are asked in that to allow Councillor Byrne and Marie to carry out their assessments. So you will note their both assessments are appended to the report, and the conclusion of the assessment there is a 2.1 that Mrs. Bronis Levin has demonstrated performance aligned to best practice in carrying out the role of independent chairperson. So again, we're asking the Audit Committee to note that.
Okay, members, we'll take that as noted. There's no queries arising from that. And we'll move to agenda item number 11, which is the assurance statements in the Code of Governance. And I'll pass to Gerard to take us through that report. Thank you, Gerard.
Thank you, Chair. So, if you don't mind, I'll just bring item number 11 and 12 together as they're interlinked. So, first of all, the assurance framework. This was developed last year, so and brought to the Audit Committee in June. It's developed to help ensure that Council complies with the statutory requirements and members and senior officers can have effective ongoing oversight of the Council's governance and assurance arrangements. So it's updated annually after that. So the assurance framework is summarised at Appendix 1. It shows how different sources of assurance and related key elements of control measures combine to enable the Council to monitor its governance arrangements and produce the evidence to support its annual governance statement. So the diagram on the first page of the assurance framework shows how the Council's Audit Committee, SPNR Committee and Council provide oversight of the governance arrangements. And then I suppose our key areas of control would be financial controls, such as management accounts, our performance management department, internal audit, external audit, management assurance in the form of quarterly assurance statements, risk management with corporate risk registers, directorate risk registers, and then health and safety. And all these are underpinned in our Code of Governance. These then feed into our annual governance statements, which is form of our financial or part of our financial accounts each year. So our annual governance statement is presented at item number 12, and I'll just take you through the key issues which are highlighted this year. So the governance statement, it goes through the scope of responsibility, the purpose of the governance framework, the governance framework. It also reviews the effectiveness, so that's reviewing the effectiveness of members, the committee itself, senior officers, internal audit, and then other review mechanisms such as health and safety reviews, risk management, and local government audit work. But the key element members should be focusing on is our significant governance issues. So there were two issues highlighted on last year's governance statement which are no longer featured. These include the Big Screen investigation. So a lesson learned report last year was produced during the course of the investigation, which has been widely shared with the relevant staff. So that has now fallen off. And the other one which has fallen off our significant governance issues is the limited internal audit report we had in relation to facilities management canteens. So this report received a limited assurance, basically due to concerns around cash reconciliations. However, all checks and balances which should be in place are now in place, so it's no longer a significant governance issue. So this year we have 8 significant governance concerns, and 6 of these were in place last year. So the first one is procurement and contract management. So the contract management audit received a limited assurance this year, and Christine Hagen from ASM will cover this later in the committee. And ASMT are also concerned with the high level of STA spend and also the number of STA contracts currently been awarded. So this has been highlighted. Our IT transformation project, there's been significant progress on our IT strategy to date. However, there's still some concerns around business continuity and disaster recovery while this is while the IT strategy is fully implemented. The next governance concern is economic and political climate. So this really focuses on Brexit and the upcoming trade negotiations and what effect these will have on council and our resources. The next governance concern is the Belfast City Regional Deal. So council have governance structures in place and funding has been agreed, but due to the significant amount of funding, council would still like this highlighted within our governance statement. The next concern is our planning backlog. So due to the number of live cases we still hold, this is still being highlighted on our governance statement, but progress has been made, and the planning consultant brought a report to the planning committee on the 1st of July highlighting the progress which has been made, and this will be tabled at item number 16 today on the update of audit recommendations. The next concern, governance concern is absenteeism. This was added last year to our governance statement due to the local government audit report in 2018. Newry Moore and Down District Council topped the stats in relation to absenteeism days amongst all the councils. So for the 12-month period ending 31st of December 19, days lost due to sickness increased by 412 to 14,332. So this was a 3% increase on the previous year, 31st of December 18. These stats are currently will change again at year end. And just to make members aware, the governance statement is a live document and will continue to change right up until the accounts are signed, which in this year is the end of December. The 7th governance concern is the Newry Rainbow Community Grant Funding. So, as most members will be aware, Council awarded $125,000 to the Rainbow Community in Newry to fund the UK and Ireland Pride event. Significant governance issues arose while verifying the first tranche of the $60,000 funding. Council's Fraud Response Group convened and brought a report to the SPNR Committee highlighting the concerns of officers uncovered, and Council reversed the decision to award any further funding to Newry Rainbow Community. And there's also an overclaim in the previous year, which is currently sitting with PSNI at the minute. So this is all highlighted. And then finally, our last significant governance concern is COVID-19. And this was basically summarised by Doreena's first report in the overall summary on the implications of COVID-19. But this will change right up until the accounts are signed. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Jared, for that. That's a very detailed cover of the significant issues for the current year. So thank you for that. Question from Councillor Sharvin.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I don't know if Gavin has joined. It's in relation to the IT transformation project that you've listed under item 12.2. Do we understand why there is these challenges and why there is a concern? Is it that the staff are being used both from a project point of view and an operational view, and we just don't have the resource to deliver what's being expected, or what is the reasoning why there is this sort of concern?
Well, I think Gavin is here today to provide an update on the 2017-18 internal audit report on disaster recovery. So we received a limited limited assurance in that report. So he is here to provide an update on that, and then also provide an update on the IT transformation strategy. And I think it was just the fact that we had a limited internal audit report on disaster recovery while we were implementing a massive IT strategy. It was decided to carry this as a significant governance concern last year. And as the IT strategy is only partly implemented, it was carried forward this year again. But Gavin can provide a further update on the IT strategy and disaster recovery. I think that's going to be at item number 16 and 17.
Okay. And obviously, COVID-19 has been a test of our business continuity and our recoverability. Has that not proven that the plans that we have in place isn't a governance issue necessarily, given that we are still continually to operate as a council?
I suppose if I can come in there, one of the things we have been very, very fortunate and I suppose have lived through a real-time test of our disaster recovery and touch wood, it has been great. But that said, we're just not where we want to be yet, Councillor Sharvin, quite frankly with you. We're very fortunate now in that we're quite a way through the IT strategy. You'll all be aware that it was very much in two stages. It was about stabilising our environment before we, I suppose, improved it. We are very, you know, a much more robust place in terms of that stabilisation piece, but we're just not quite there yet. There's a lot of work still to be done to remove a lot of the old legacy systems and the impact that they would have on the environment, etc. So it's timely, and one of the reasons why Gavin's come along today is to demonstrate to the committee just how much work does go on behind the scenes. It's also a good timing from my perspective in terms of COVID-19 has put more pressure on our environment and on all IT systems globally. Hackers, etc., saw COVID-19 as a huge opportunity. And so you'll see later on Gavin's presentation does talk to us, but we're continuing to highlight it because we're just not where we want to be on that yet, in that position, but we're definitely much more progressed than we were, and definitely, I suppose, if we can give any assurance to the audit committee, it is that we are progressing through that IT strategy, but we're just not where we want to be yet on it.
And sorry, just to follow up, Drina, Are we comfortable that we have everything that we need to achieve the goal that we want to achieve within the time frame that officers have aspirations to achieve it by?
Well, the timetable has slipped, and there's been a couple of reasons for that. We had contractor issues with one huge piece of work that was very much a building block for other pieces of work, and that delayed things quite significantly. We've got over those now, we have been able to sort of proceed at pace thereafter. So I suppose that then as we move in, we're more into moving into now the transformational stage. It's like anything else now, there are a number of areas within the IT strategy that probably need revisited as the business has moved on a couple of years. So we'll need to do a refresh piece of work probably on it soon. Some of the transformation projects that are ongoing in service areas like business admin review, like the neighbourhood services transformation piece, they have been changing organically, if you like, and then COVID, certainly in relation to my own in terms of business admin, have made you question that and probably reformat it again. So, and the IT impact on that needs to be assessed. So, we're doing other pieces of work. At the minute, we're back on track, but we did suffer delays at those early stages around one of the core pieces of the stabilisation piece. We are content we've got sufficient resource in-house at the minute, and we do supplement that with external assistance where required, as you'll be aware.
Okay, all right. Happy enough. I'm happy to propose the items 11 and 12, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Sharvin. There's just one quick question I want to ask just before I get a seconder there. It was for the Northern Ireland Audit Office, Brian or Patrick. Is there going to be a Northern Ireland region report done in relation to absenteeism for 2020?
Um,
Hey, Chair, if I can take that. Chair, at this stage, I'm not sure. I need to check with the Chief Local Government Auditor to see if she's proposing to continue to do a similar report again, but that's something I can follow up and get back to you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Brian. That's great. Okay, members, we have a proposer in Councillor Sharvin. If we could have a seconder. Thank you, Councillor Hannan. Seconded those two, 11 and 12. Okay, we can move on now, members, to item number 13, which is the corporate risk register, and Doreena is going to take us through that. Thank you, Doreena.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. So, members, you'll see from the report that we've done a number of very, very thorough reviews, and as was said earlier, we looked at the best way to do this in light of COVID. So each risk that was existing on the risk register has been reviewed in its own right, if you like, and then also reviewed to say, well, how has COVID impacted on that? We've been through that process twice as a senior management team. You will see a separate line where there is a COVID impact in your root cause section on that. In addition, we have added two new risks that are COVID specific. That's a risk 13 around the impact of staff sickness and staff absenteeism on our ability to deliver our critical and our statutory services. And then corporate risk 14 is that the risk, more of a long-term risk, if you like, that we don't assist sufficiently, we fail to assist the recovery of the district in as we go into the post-COVID-19 phase. All risks and the actions have been updated accordingly, and they're all there for you to see. Page 5 of this report gives you a cover piece where you can see at a high level, at a glance, all the changes to scoring that have gone on and the reasons for those. The second thing just to bring to your attention is then that Treasury Orange Book has been updated. This is the sort of the Bible, if you like, the guidance for risk management in the public sector. We have had a look at this. At the updates, there are some very useful updates as to how we approach risk management. I suppose we're content to advise the Audit Committee that we certainly remain compliant with the Orange Book. We do believe that the updates, though, are very useful, and we do want to go away now and review our risk management policy and take on board those different ways of looking at risk, questioning our approach to risk management, and so they'll make their way back through a revised risk management policy. So everything's there for you. You don't propose to go through each risk, but happy to take any comments or questions on any risk that's there.
Thank you, Doreena. Councillor Sharvin has a question.
Yeah, Doreena, it's more in relation to one of the new risks. So obviously, corporate risk number 12 is around sickness absence for staff, and then obviously the new risk under corporate risk 13 being very much around staff increase due to COVID. Is that, I'm just trying to understand the difference of the risk, is the new risk that we haven't done enough preparation to avoid our staff getting COVID-19 within the facilities that they're using, or is it that they get COVID-19 out of their own use and staff absence goes up? Because to me, 12 and 13 would be, for the second example, the same, but is it more that we have done and prepared as much?
Yeah, so 13 is the former that you sort of touched on there, Councillor Sharvin. It's more about our failure to adequate, as we open up our offices, for example, now again, failure to adequately make them health and safety compliant. It's around our failures, I suppose, keeping our staff safe in a COVID-19 environment, that we don't therefore by our own failures lead to that staff absenteeism. Corporate risk 12 is our, if you like, our normal sickness absence and our normal reasons for it, which are more you know, maybe people off with on short term colds and flus, longer term sickness absences, you know, long term diseases, etc. So 13 was very much a focus on if we fail to act as an organisation, we fail to protect our staff as best we can from contracting COVID-19 within the workplace, then that might lead to staff absenteeism. So that's why we kept the two separate.
Yeah, no, that's fine. It's just clarity.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. There's no further questions, but I have one myself. Doreen, if I may, in relation to the risk number 11 and health and safety, and there was a very fulsome report provided by ASM on as an advisory report to health and safety. I was just wondering, there's no change as shown on that, maybe it's a timing thing, if you foresee any change in the risk arising out of that advisory report.
Yeah, so that advisory report has, it's going to our senior management team meeting tomorrow, and it'll then be tabled at the CMT, which is our AD grouping meeting. I believe they're meeting then on Thursday. There are some issues highlighted in that report. I suppose the message is going to be coming at senior management and CMT level is that we need to take action to address those very quickly. When we next bring this to you, certainly any impact from that report will be highlighted in this. Very early days, just in the staff that would be responsible for actioning it, taking any action. And certainly the message is going to be coming from us is to take the action very quickly. So we'll bring an update on any impact on that risk back to the audit committee.
Okay, Duina, thank you. Question from Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just as Councillor Sharman had said, I suppose the two new COVID-19 risks that are interlinked with other risks that are already on the corporate register, and I see a huge link with risk number 9 and 14, I suppose, on the ability to regenerate the economy or attract jobs into Newry as well. So I think that's why it's important that these two new risks are set separate instead of just right through the whole risk register, because we can get confused on the two risks where you're talking about 9 and 14 and 12 and 13, as Gareth has said. Just on the asset management strategy, the review of the four-year capital programme, which is the first risk there, and that's one that's to the forefront right now as we're looking at revisiting our whole capital programme come August. And I know in this action plan it says that SMT is going to have that done by the end of July and obviously present to SBNR in August. In the asset management strategy, surely then there's a risk with the ability to buy in the current circumstances, because yes, we're listing assets as surplus. We're going out through the D1 process for others to purchase sites that are surplus to the requirements of the council, for example, the college or whatever. But in this COVID environment, there's an added risk of others not being in a position to buy those assets. So I think that's, and also the devaluation of those assets as well, as we'll probably see going forward. I know we discussed at an EWG meeting, not to go into detail, in devaluation over the last couple of months. So I think that in the COVID environment is something to be concerned about as well.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Byrne. Just to mention, Duina did touch on the updated Orange Book, and the officers assured me that we would be getting training in due course when the policies are all updated and we'd be brought up to speed, because there's a lot of interesting changes going on there. Okay, that's items for noting. Thank you for that, members. And we would move now to item number 14, and that is our prompt payment statistics. And maybe if Gerard wants to just touch on that first. Thank you, Gerard.
Thank you, Chair. So these are just the stats that we would present to the Department for Communities. So from the 1st of October 19 to the 30th of December 19, we paid 91% of suppliers within 30 days and 17% of suppliers within 10 days. And our average number of days to pay suppliers was 20. And then the next quarter, 1st of January 20 to 31st of March 2020, we paid 91% of the suppliers within 30 days and 25% within the 10 days. Our average number of days to pay suppliers was 18. Unfortunately, we don't have the stats from the 1st of April to the end of June. Accounts payable are currently working on these to get them to the Department for Communities right away. However, we do expect them to increase slightly, the average days number taken to pay suppliers, just due to not all accounts payable staff being set up for remote working at the very beginning of the pandemic, but that was all rectified pretty swiftly, so we wouldn't expect a massive increase.
Okay, thank you, Jared. A question here from Councillor Sharvin.
Sorry, I was talking there and I was on mute. First time for everything too. Yeah, so it's more just in comparison to previous quarters and to last year. It may be good for us to sort of see, is the trend a positive trend? You know, are things improving over time that we are increasingly reducing the average number of days it's taken to pay, and then the breakdown that you presented, Jared, across the section. So I don't know if you know the figures from maybe last year in comparison to where we are this year, but I think it would be really good just for us to monitor that and see, are things improving across in comparison section years?
No, I think that's a good point. On the future committees, I bring maybe the annual total from maybe 18-19 or 17-18, and we can compare. But in relation to the 30 days and the average number of days to pay suppliers, that's continually getting better. And it's kind of got to the point now where it's always sitting above 90%. So that's pretty good in relation to other councils. And our average number of days has went down, because we were kind of sitting around 22, 23 for a while, and we got down to 18 just at the end of the year. So things are improving, but going forward, I bring sort of an annual sort of historic comparable then, just in relation to our own council.
Thank you, Jared.
Yeah.
Councillor Owen has a question.
Thanks very much. Jared, I remember whenever we were having our induction and you briefly said that it's lovely to try and get to within the 10 days, although it was sort of with a bit of a sort of not overly realistic in the sense that, you know, to be able to try and achieve. Now, knowing that obviously COVID was starting to hit certainly and causing a wee bit of disruption towards the end of the March, I think we've done fantastic to still get 25% of those paid within the 10 days, which is an increase from the October to the December from 17%. What did we do better between October, December, or sorry, between January, March and October and December? Because that's quite a jump. And as well, like I say, bearing in mind that we're starting to sort of feel the pinch as far as COVID was starting to sort of raise its head then, we must have sort of done something well,
it can all come down to timing as well. To improve our accounts payable stats, we brought in extra payment runs. But then also in relation to payment of invoices, it's not just down to accounts payable. So they can only get them on so quickly, but it's up to officers to approve the invoices. So it's a two-stage approval. So, like for example, if I was approving something, I would approve it, and then it has to go to Ken or Doreena. So it's kind of, it depends on officers. So if officers have approved quicker than normal, then accounts payable can make the payments quicker. So I don't think there was anything we accounts payable as a team did differently. Possibly got the invoices on slightly earlier, but it all comes down to officers making the approvals on the system so the payment can be made. So I don't think there was anything done different in relation to accounts payable, because we've added the new payment run in. I would assume it's in over a year now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just down to approvals.
I think if I could come in there, Chair, I think it's an interesting question that Councillor Owen asked when you look at the two statistics. You know, now I suppose the one thing that I would point out, you know, in that first quarter up to December, it was 16 million in total, you know, invoice value versus 13 million. So it might have been naturally a smaller payment run, if you like. But I think instead of us, you know, guessing, it's definitely a good question that we can go and ask. You know, there were less invoices in that quarter, 4,900 versus 5,500 in the previous quarter. But certainly we can ask that question of the team, and if there are any positive lessons to be learnt, of course, learn them, you know, because that would certainly be one of our better results within the 10-day period in particular.
Yeah, that's just what I'm thinking. You know, it's important, you know, to certainly give, you know, a wee bit of a pat on the back from time to time. It's clear that, you know, that quarter, you know, something improved, and bearing in mind that we were starting to look down the barrel of COVID, that we must have done something across the council, you know, something must have streamlined better. So it's just about reflecting and seeing what you did and could you do that even better, you know. So, but that's great. Thank you.
Okay, members, that item's for noting and there are no further questions. So thank you, Jared, for that and Trina. Items 15 to 29 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and the public may, by resolution, be excluded during this item of business. So therefore, members, I need, if I may, have a proposer and seconder to move into closed business. Thank you. Okay, I have a proposer from Councillor Owen, and I'll take a seconder from Councillor and second by Councillor Owen. Thank you. That leaves us then with item number 30 for noting from the Northern Ireland Audit Office. No, if members are happy enough to note that without getting into any detail. I'm seeing yes. And item number 31. Members are happy enough to note it. With any queries. Okay, that, and then the circulars are for noting. Just very briefly, item 8 and 9, which is the Audit Committee self-assessment, is item number 8. And again, that's just, we have been, I believe, based on the checklist that has been completed, which is the National Audit Office self-assessment checklist, that we are running an effective Audit Committee in line with good practice. There are some comments there within the report. I take those as read. So I need a proposer and seconder for that report, members. Councillor Sharvin has proposed, I think, and yep. Councillor Byrne has seconded. And the last item, I believe, on the agenda is item number 9. This is the annual report, which is my report, and I'm not going to bore you with any details other than to say it's there. Hopefully members have read it, and to thank members, staff, officers, ASM, internal audit, external audit, thank everybody for supporting me through the year, and just need a proposer and seconder to complete it. Proposed by Councillor Byrne. Thank you. I'm not sure if this is coming up. And seconded by Councillor Owen. Is that right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, yep. Members. Sorry about the rush through at the end, but it was a meeting. Thank you very much. Until the next time.
Chair, I need to read the closed session item.
Sorry.
Yeah. You're quite all right. So, just for the purposes of the TAFE then, whilst in closed session, the following items were agreed. It was agreed to note the item 15. It was agreed to note the officer's report in respect of direct award contracts. And it was further agreed that a report would be brought back to the September Audit Committee. Item 16, it was agreed to note the update on audit recommendations. Item 17, it was agreed to note the update on cyber security. Item 18, it was agreed to note the update on fraud and whistleblowing. Item 19, it was agreed to note the ASM summary progress report. Item 20, it was agreed to note the ASM annual assurance report in respect of the 2019-20 year. Item 21, it was agreed to note the ASM internal audit report on leisure and time recording. Item 22, it was agreed to note the ASM internal audit report in respect of contract management. Item 23, it was agreed to note the ASM advisory report in respect of health and safety. Item 24, it was agreed to note the ASM report on building control, review of performance inspections. Item 25, it was agreed to note the ASM report EU programme audit, FFNI. Item 26, it was agreed to note the ASM review of prior year recommendations 2018-19. Item 27, on the proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor Owen, it was agreed to approve the internal ASM internal audit plan for the 2020-2021 year. item 28 on the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Owen. It was agreed to accept the Northern Ireland Audit Office audit strategy for the 2019-20 year. And item 29, it was agreed to note the correspondence from the Northern Ireland Audit Office in respect of a change of director responsibilities. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. I think that brings the meeting to the close. Sorry about the rush at the end. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye now. Yeah.